Good evening, everybody. Good evening. I wanted to share with you. I saw this. I don't know how it came to me. Well, it's a fascinating. Whoever inched it, it's not directly connected to what we're learning anymore, but it is a fascinating shtickle. It's the Coca-Cola Kashrut controversy. It's fascinating. It has to do with the Bittel B'Shishim discussion that we had. It's a semi-historical, semi-halachic essay. The fascinating aspect of it is that it touched on the issue of initially Coke had TEF ingredients and it was changed. But the shayla is about, it was a bottle of B'Shishim, which is the shayla in its own right. Subsequently, there was a question as to whether it's forgiven by Hashkocha, because it's this bottle of B'Shishim, as to whether there's a shayla of Bittel Lechatchila, which we touched on as well. You know, not to be mevatel something Lechatchila. So both. Once you think you have sorted out the general shayla, it comes up that actually there's also kosher lePesach shayla. It's a fascinating piece. I'm happy to give it to you. Alternatively, you can look at it on Ur Sameach. It's somebody, Rabbi Yehuda Spitz, Ur Sameach. You've got the 4499. I'm not quite sure how it works exactly. It's a really, really fascinating. Anybody who likes to drink Coke and wants to know why you need a special Ashkoch for Kosher Pesach Coke, it's very interesting. The most interesting part is that they actually changed the ingredients. The fascinating part is that they actually changed the ingredients. They changed the ingredients for the. They changed the ingredients for the Jewish clientele to be able to enjoy the. Apparently so. Well, it seems to be a myth. It seems to be a myth. That's what it says over here. Yeah, so it doesn't say a Moshelanda. That's the.
3 years ago, when I was doing my Chumash, he asked the Rav about the very specific shayla in connection with this while I was doing the Kiryas Chumash. I remember. Yeah. I don't remember the answer.
We're continuing with the halachas of matzah. And we are up to Simon Tov Nun Gimel, and we are up to Seif Vav, which is in our editions page 96. Sakim, we're talking about the sacks, about the bags. Shenoisim b'hem kemach kol hashana, the sacks which are used throughout the year for the flour. Im roitze litein b'hem kemach. If you wish to fill with those very bags the flour which you're going to make matzahs from it, mechapsino isim yofe, you wash it very, very well. Tzichim lehatir koideim akibus kolatfiros. You may use those sacks again. Although it was used previously for the flour which was going to be made into regular chametz, you can recycle them and use them for Pesach flour which is going to make matzahs from it. That's okay, as long as tzichim lehatir. First of all, you need to be mechabes oisim yofe, you need to wash them very well. And secondly, tzichim lehatir koidim akibus kol hatfiros shebohem, you need to undo the stitches bektovos by the edges imem metuloim, if there are patch or imem metuloim of these patches which was stitched on with pieces. So you need to undo those stitches to make sure that all the flour which may potentially be in there, that it's undone, and that's how you wash it in order to remove for sure all the flour. A good example of early recycling, gentlemen. This was not Barnard who invented it. It looks like recycling was done previously. They use the sacks again, and it's okay to use the chametz ones and to use them as long as you wash it really well. What I do think is very interesting to note is that we see to what extent when it comes to flour, to what extent kibbutz actually works. So if you wash something really, really thoroughly and you really wash it really well, that's fine. I don't recommend, but it may be comparable I'm not sure what you think. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. It's my I don't know, because this is talking about flour and it's not talking about genuine chametz. So if you want to compare it to something which is like, for instance, the tablecloth or something like that, you could argue that it's not really comparable. Just because you wash it really well, it might not be good enough, because this is talking about flour, which is not necessarily chametz. As opposed to our tablecloth, which for sure have come in touch with chametz mamash, so it might not be comparable.
Except that the flour gets into everything
much more easily. Yeah.
The chametz does. And yeah. If you wash it, then for sure it's going to be chametz.
Yeah.
By dint of the fact that you washed it.
Did you wash it? Yeah. I hear. Yeah, it's a good point. Siv Zayin, Shemulichin Asakim Sheish Boim Kemach Marichaim. Alright. This is now a transport issue, logistical shaila now. Shemulichin Asakim, Siv Zayin, when you transport these sacks of flour, Sheish Boim Kemach Marichaim, which has got freshly ground flour from the mill. Also, La'anicham Al Gabe Behemo, you may not place those sacks of flour, al gabe behema, on the animal. So if you've got your camel, do not place those bags straight onto the camel. Why? Sheinukov, if there is no saddle, oir of tachasasak, or at least, at the very least, you should have a very thick layer of leather between the sack and the animal. Why so? That's right, because of the sweat of the animal. If you were to place the sack of the flour on your camel, what may happen is that the camel is going to sweat. And although I don't think camels do, actually. So I don't mean camels necessarily. I think camels don't. No, I think that's the whole thing about camels. Not sure. But donkey, whatever. Don't place it on your animal, because what's going to happen is the animal may sweat, and through that moisture, what's going to happen is that, and then the flour is going to turn into chametz. So therefore, the way out, says the Shulchan Aruch, is if you've got a saddle or a very thick layer of leather, so that's going to make that separation, and therefore it's not going to get wet. Yeah.
It only goes on the outside of the bag.
Yeah, but still, we got concerned that's not good enough for the separation. That might still leak through. Shurach says, "Sif cotton lamed dalad," which is the first white line. Al gabe behema on the animal. Ki akemach mischame megufa behema, because the flour is going to get warm from the body of the animal, shulchan, which is warm, valley day cane, and therefore umemal achmit b'shas alisha, and it's going to turn into chametz when it's going to be later, when the kneading process is going to take place. There's going to be sweat from the weight of the load, and it could very well be that the sweat of the animal is going to turn it into chametz, like water. There's a bit of a controversy about this, as to whether the sweat really can turn it into chametz. But the Ma'aser Shchunoch is machmi, and there continues the Rama v'chini zoyer. And similarly, you've got to be careful, says the Ramosh Lanichom, har besakim imakemach ze al ze. That don't put one bag on top of the other. Don't put one bag, never mind transport. When you're storing it, do not put one bag, one sack of flour on top of the other. Shlaniach har besakim imakemach zel zet, one on top of the other, b'mokim shefshe, if it's possible to avoid. Now, this is because, says the Shulchan, the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Lamed, hey, fourth wide line, v'chein izor, gam ken mitam, for a similar reason, shemischam imakemach, because the flour is going to turn hot. Now, there's a word for it which I've forgotten. What is that called? When it gets warm by being concentrated, few items being concentrated together. What's that word?
What?
When you have a lot of items together, they produce their own heat.
Fermentation?
No.
Decomposing?
No.
Decomposing?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about.
It heats up.
It heats up the chemical. Yeah. When? Pardon? I think a lot of recycling. When it decomposes, it gets hot, right? There's an intrinsic heat that. Yeah, so it's that kind of thing, that if you've got a lot of sacks of, it keeps the heat and it produces heat, and therefore it's gonna, we are concerned about chametz, about chimutz taking place. Okay, Siv Ches, Noyagin Lenakir Arichaim. Now in practical terms, gentlemen, I don't know how it's actually done in the matzah factories. I don't know how they actually keep it. It's funny, I don't remember it. I don't remember how they keep it. It seems to be that you've got to make sure that you don't have too many sacks of flour on top of the other. Now this is likely to be an issue when it comes to the machine matzahs production, which is a very intensive production. I don't know where they keep all the flour. I don't know how they do that, but it must be that they keep it in. You mustn't load one on top of the other. Although the Mishnah Berurah does say, but yeah, but it's okay, but certainly chatchila, we have to avoid it.
I understood that this was just for mowers. When you're carrying it on the animal, you shouldn't have it on the other. Maybe it's just in general.
I think it's in general. Yeah. Chenizo lechatchila shleniachah besakim makemach zeal zeh b'mokim she'efsha. Yeah, I think that's not necessarily talking about the transportation. Noyagin lenakir arichayim, Seif Ches. Your dominic is to lenakir arichayim to clean the mill. Mishum de zimlin nosnu b'em tvua lesuso lesoyleis. So now this is talking about the mill that is producing the grain, from the grain into the flour. Generally, you'd use the same mill throughout the year. So he says that, you know, if you're using that mill now for grain that you're going to use for flour which is going to become matzahs, you have to clean it in between. Although you're going to argue, what do you mean? Flour is flour. Grains are grains. What's the difference? I'm just taking those grains, those wheat, and I'm turning it into flour. So what's the difference? It's not chametz. So why do you need to clean it in between? When I'm making this flour for my matzahs, why do I need to clean the mill? I mean, flour is flour. The answer is no. Because at times, mishum de zimnin nostam im tvua lesusa, the soil is at time, you may have used wet grain, which was meant for specific purpose. So maybe it got wet at one point. Since it may have got wet at one point, it may have turned into chametz, and therefore you've got to clean it very thoroughly in order to avoid contamination with previous flour which might have been chametz. Not only that, but it goes even further, and that's the minhag, I believe, to this day. For noagin shekemach arishon shenitchanach aniku, after you've cleaned it very thoroughly, and the mill is now spotless and clean, and there's not a grain of flour there, that first flour that has been ground, that you don't use for matzahs. Noagin shekemach arishon, the minhag is that the first flour shenitchan, which was ground, achar aniku, after the cleansing of the mill, shomer moiso, it's guarded and it's kept ad l'achareg until after Yom Tov. In other words, it's not being used for matzahs. Because the mill might have been contaminated, might have been chametz stick, and therefore, although it's been cleaned now, it's been cleaned thoroughly, the first batch is not used for matzahs. You keep that for chametz after Yom Tov. Ramah adds, and the people who are makbid on their mitzvahs and careful with the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, they have the custom of going themselves to the place of the mill. Liro is to see heim be'atzmam themselves letchino, to see themselves to the grinding kimchem of their flour. This is a bit hard for us to do. To oversee the mill, supervise the mill, the grinding. But that's what Anshe Maisa do. What's the point in that? What's the point in going and seeing if the mill, look at the mill? Mishnah Berurah explains, in Sivkotten Memalav Lelich Be'atzmom, Shemitzvah Boyoisim Be'shluchoy, because the mitzvah is always greater than you do yourself rather than send somebody else on your behalf. Rabbi said, this is a Chiddush. I think this is a Chiddush. Because normally, why is this a Chiddush? The mitzvah Boyoisim Be'shluchoy. If you are very Litvish, and you're very it's a bit hard to understand it. The more you are, I'll tell you, normally what does mitzvah b'yoyisim b'shluchoy mean? What's a typical context, a typical example of mitzvah b'yoyisim b'shluchoy? Yeah.
Put it in the pot yourself.
Yeah. So instead of, that's right. So because instead of sending somebody to put it in the, yeah, you give it to the only yourself. That's perhaps mitzvah. That's probably mitzvah mishlucha. Another example which we saw earlier when we got to Hilchas Pesach, you could really fulfill the mitzvah of Bdikas Chametz by asking your children to do it, even your wife to do it. We find that mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha, if you do the Bdikas Chametz yourself, it's greater yet. Mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha, it's greater you fill the mitzvah yourself rather than sending somebody else. If you can, yes. If you can, yes. Mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha. The Gemara in Kiddushin gives examples of preparing for Shabbos. Various Amiroim, they used to make the fish. That's right, they used to sort out of it. Yeah, they sort out all the achronos for Shabbos themselves. This is, of course, assuming that your wife allows you in the kitchen, right? So in my case, I'm unable to do mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha in this one for the sake of, for health reasons for the family, I suppose. Pardon? Yeah. So now I hear all that. It's better to physically do the mitzvah yourself, although at times you can fulfill the mitzvah by asking somebody else to do it on your behalf. But it's better if you physically do the mitzvah yourself. I totally hear that. I totally appreciate that. Now, here we're finding a slightly different example, because it's not saying that you should grind yourself. Nobody says you should grind the wheat yourself to make it into flour. That's not what we're saying. The Rama says, Anshe Maisa, people who are careful with the mitzvahs, they go and supervise the grinding of the grinding process yourself. You go to the mill and you check that everything is fine. Why? Because mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha, that's beyond me. It really is beyond me. The Shabbos says, Leilich Basman, they go themselves. Nobody's saying that. If it's talking about baking the matzahs yourself, I could perhaps hear it. Not sure I could, but perhaps I could hear it. Because baking matzah is not really a mitzvah. But let's say I could hear it. Let's say I can hear that you should bake the matzah yourself as opposed to asking somebody to bake on your behalf. Perhaps. But here this is like 16 stages further away. He's telling you, you should supervise yourself. As opposed to relying on somebody else. Because mitzvah b'yoysem b'shluchoy. Can somebody explain that to me?
Tashbisu.
What Tashbisu? It's not Tashbisu. We're not burning the chametz here. Either Mimon Avshach. Can I rely on these gentlemen? Yes or no? If I can rely on them, then I don't see any mitzvah b'shlucha. If I cannot rely on them, then I can't eat it. What's the mitzvah b'shlucha about supervision, about the hashkocha? I don't understand that. It's really beyond me. Pardon, lefum tzara aga? But that's a nice explanation, but that's not Mishibu's explanation. You're right, lefum tzara aga is an element of schwitzing yourself for the mitzvah a little bit. Right here. You should do it, but Mishibu says, mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha. Yeah, that's definitely a true concept, but I don't know. The Mishnah says something slightly different. What are you saying? That goes together with mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha. How does that work? That since the achon of the mitzvah is perhaps okay. Let's hear that since the achon of the mitzvah is a mitzvah itself.
But make sure that the knife is ready, up and down. Yeah,
it takes
much longer than the actual mitzvah.
You say
the
achon
of the mitzvah is more important.
Yeah.
You checking the knife is also part.
Checking the knife is achon of the mitzvah.
I understand the question.
So you're saying that similarly also the hashkocha.
Checking the knife yourself, you have somebody else checking the knife.
Isn't it finished? At the end of the day, this is part of the mitzvah.
Same thing with menorah.
Maybe, yeah.
You could make a quick.
But mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha, that's all part of the process.
You know what? I understood.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
It's all part of the preparation.
I
was looking, typing the actual words. Shmitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha. It's not that it's better. It's just if you do it, you'll do it properly. He said, shliach, then he'll be yoytzer zayin. He'll say, right, I've got to come along, make sure this rechaim is clean. Yeah, it's clean. If you go, in it is more. Right? There's more in it. You're going to spend longer. It's not a question.
Mitzvah b'yoysem b'shlucha.
It's just that you'll do it properly.
Yeah, yeah. The Mishnah continues, at the very least, you should put a shoima, what we call a shoima. Yeah, shoyma a mashkiach. So somebody should be by the mill. Ish yorei shemaim, somebody who fears God, uvoki bedinim ktsas, and he should know a little bit about those halachas, a little bit. V'loy am oretz, and he should not be a ignorant person. Kidei in order shelo yovei adovel dechshash chimutz, so we can avoid any potential problems of chimutz chas v'shalom. Ve'kol shkeni v'mosu shelo yoshiv katan l'shem. Certainly, you should not ask a minor, a child, to oversee it. So, and this is important because at times, children do end up in the matzah bakeries. So certainly they should have no role in supervising. They can help, sure, it's great chinuch, they should help, they should do things, but they should not be involved in the overseeing and supervision of the process. So, if possible, a person should go himself, because mitzvah b'yosim b'shluchoy. Okay, and finally for tonight, Siv Tez, Tzorich Litchoin Achitim. You should grind the wheat, yoim, a day or yomaim, or perhaps 2 days, lifnei alisha, before the kneading. Why? Cool down, that's right. Because if it's too, after the grinding, it's quite warm. The flour gets warm from the grinding. And then it's going to get quicker into chametz. So you have to cool it down for at least 1 or 2 days. So we're talking about Erev Pesach. If he was ground mamash on Erev Pesach, and baked straight away, you cannot bake, knead matzahs on that day, because it's warm. Because the flour is, during the kneading process, hot. Resech means hot. Will heat up the water. And the water, as we know, needs to be cold. We'll speak about this much more. Future shiurim, Yitz Hashem. Water needs to be cool. And if the flour is hot, it's going to warm up the water. And the dough is going to get much quicker into chametz. Therefore, you've got to make sure that the grinding process is completed at least 1 or 2 days before you're making the dough. What we learned this evening, Pesiyat Nishmaya, we learned that the bags, the sacks, may be recycled as long as they are very, very well, they're cleaned very thoroughly and the stitches are undone. Then you can use the same sacks for chametz and for Pesach. We learned that the sacks should not be placed on the animals, because it's going to get warm unless you've got a saddle or thick leather in between. We also learned, don't pile them up, because it's going to warm each other. The flour is going to get warm. We also learned the minhag is to clean the mill thoroughly, because at times it may have got into chametz. And we learned that the first batch, which is made for matzahs, are not used for matzahs, they are used for after Yom Tov. We learned also that because of mitzvah b'yosim b'shluchai, a person should be makpid that he goes and supervises the grinding of the flour himself, if it's possible at all. And finally, we learned that after the wheat is made into flour, one should wait a couple of days before it's being made into the dough, because it's warm and it's going to affect the water, temperature of the water. Okay, Simon Tov, Nundala, tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, wish you good evening.